to the red couch with Bird, I had to get on the show. She's a poet, and you know it. She's a poet. She is an artist.
Yes.
If you will. Jessica Jones, that's her.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm good. It was a long commute.
She came from far. She came from far away to enjoy this space right here on the red couch. And I have her here because, you know, it's a lot of questions that's unanswered right now. It's a lot of things that people want to hear. So I just want y'all to hear it. And I want y'all to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Oh.
Okay? Because she created all of the relationship rules in the world. Nah, let me see.
I was about to say.
But she's good with it.
I'm okay. I'll see what I can do here.
You see what you can do here? Oh, now she want to act like she's like a relationship guest where she just, I'm having her on the show to give everybody advice. Well, that's probably what it is anyway, right? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't need none. You know what I'm saying?
Now this, I don't feel like people really are good at giving other people relationship advice. I think that the whole thing should just be somebody giving insight on different perspectives. Because what you should be doing is looking at things through the eyes of everybody else when you're trying to figure out your partner. You should be trying to consider their perception. And so when you start to consider other people's perception in a general sense, you get a better kind of scope on your immediate relationships.
So you're saying that we can't get relationship advice from anyone?
I just think that most people, the specifics of the relationship, especially the meat and potatoes of their relationships, they aren't forthcoming with when they ask people advice. So they'll ask them something and it's general, but they're looking for specifics. Exactly.
Basically.
So it's like, when you know the saying, people tell you their side of the story, and then the truth.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I hear that, but I don't believe in that, because I always tell all sides of the story, and that's it. I'm just saying.
Do you, though?
Yes, I do. All the time, buddy. I tell all of the stories that I tell from all sides.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, but do you think it's okay to get relationship advice from anybody?
No.
Nobody?
I think that...
Therapist? Nobody?
No, I do think that it's okay to get certain kinds of advice from people. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about advice as far as the same way you would get a recipe from somebody. Like, if you feel like you want to eat something, an Indian cuisine, right? So you go to an Indian person to get Indian cuisine, that would make sense. So if what it is relative to who that person is, then it's okay to get advice for them. Like, if you're wondering, like, I know this is kind of like going mad far right now, but if you were like, yo, can you give me advice on like how I can be better in bed? You would go to somebody that you know is good at having sex, right? So I feel like you should get advice from people that you know are good in that realm.
Okay, so you're saying that, for example, a porn star, if I want to know how to have sex, I'm going to go get a porn star to tell me how to have sex. I'm just saying, right? That's good in that realm. That's what you said. So, like, Kevin Samuels or somebody, right?
No.
Wow.
Kevin Samuels is a divorcee. Is he good at relationships? He's divorced.
You can be divorced and be good at relationships.
Are you, though? Because it's speaking to the exact opposite.
No, because it depends on why and how you got divorced, so you can't.
Is he forthcoming with that information? Does everybody know why and how he got
divorced?
Exactly.
I don't know, Kevin.
All you know is that he gives you advice. He gives advice to women on how they can be better women to suit more financially equipped men, right? But we do not know how good that man is in a relationship. So why are we taking advice from him? I'm not saying that you shouldn't take any advice.
We don't know his
real
life.
Exactly. You don't know his interpersonal life for you to be taking advice from him.
Kevin Samuels, if you're watching, we got some answering to do. But we need to know your official life. We need to know everything about you so we can start figuring out if we need to take advice from you. That's what she said.
I mean, I personally, more power to you. If people want to listen to you and they feel like you some kind of relationship guru, then by all means, right, get your money, boo, get to the bag. Mm-hmm. But
you're not hating, right?
I don't know you for me personally to take advice from you. Because
I feel you.
I don't know. Every paintbrush does not make the same kind of stroke. So,
so I don't know if you saw, it was like a craze, like not too long ago. It was a red flag craze. Everybody was putting mad red flags and on social media, and they were saying that it was a red flag if this happens in a relationship. Like if you first meet somebody and they do something crazy or do something wrong or whatever, red flag. Like what is three red flags
for me
that you notice, and for the people that are watching, what a red flag is basically something that is like, hold on, wait, pause. That's the red part, okay, because that's like stop,
right?
Okay, and it's like a flag on a play in a football game. Wait, stop. Something might be wrong here. That is what that is, okay? So, in a relationship or in like a dating situation, because that's when you first meet somebody, what are three red flags that you have experienced or that you think would be something that would turn you off?
I want to say the first and foremost, it's like kind of a two-part one kind of red flag. Like I'm gonna say one, but it's like two parts of it. Mm-hmm. So I want to say if somebody was raised by a single mother who literally did everything, and I'm talking about like was supremely independent, like she literally did everything, and he was raised thinking that she should have to, if a woman cannot be as independent as my mother, that's a big red flag for me.
Wait. You said raised thinking.
Right. If you were raised by a single mother and your mother had to do everything herself, it kind of like puts a print on your love map, right? Mm-hmm. So your love map is like, okay, I want a woman that's capable of being like my mother, because everybody thinks that a lot of people say they don't want. They're not necessarily looking for somebody that's just like their parents, but you ultimately end up in relationships that mimic your parents,
Wait a minute, mama, if you're watching, okay? Because I know my mother be watching this and be like, I seen your show last night. That my mother's a Gemini.
Right.
And they cry a whole lot.
I can't with
you. Okay. I'm just saying a whole lot. Gemini, stop the crying, okay? I don't know what's up with that crying and the leg shaking and the nervousness, but stop the crying, okay? I'm just saying. I don't get along with that, okay? I'm a Leo, so I can consult you and I can be there in your emotional state, right? Forever. But you can't cry like that all the time, though. You gotta soak that shit up.
Okay, be so strong. That's like one. That's like one very, very specific thing you don't like. But like I was saying, everybody, for people that I think one of my biggest red flags, if a man tells me that he was raised by a single mother and his single mother did everything herself, had to do everything herself, and he speaks on it like he's proud of the fact that she had to do every single thing herself, he's going to be looking for you to do everything plus whatever the fuck you got to do in that relationship. And that's a big red flag for me. No.
Like, what do you mean?
No. Like what you're going to be looking for is you're going to be looking for somebody to be domestic and somebody to be, what's the word for it? Like your financial counterpart, right? So you're going to be looking for somebody that works real hard and provides, and you're going to be looking for somebody that's equally as domestic, right? A nurturer, a domesticated wife, and somebody that is crazy in the corporate realm, because your mother had to play all those parts. And because your mother had to play those parts, you're going to be looking for a woman that can play all those parts. But then you're going to be pissed off when you feel like she's too masculine. Because your mother was a nurturer to you, because that's who she is to you, a nurturer. You're going to be looking for a woman that is nurturing, domesticated, like super corporate and providing and all of those things. And you're going to be looking for all of those things out of one woman, and it's never going to happen. That's a big ass red flag.
But, but here's the thing. Who's to say that the guy is going to be looking for all of that, though?
But you asked me what was my red flag.
No, I'm just saying. No, because you added extra. You, there was a little bit extra in there. You said that the guy that is has been raised by their mom in that situation would be someone who gives off some of those things.
It has been my experience that men who were raised by women that had to do it all seek for women that do it all. Not to say that there aren't women that do it all, but in most cases, those women are going to be hard to deal with.
I mean, me. Damn.
I'm just saying.
I ain't gonna lie, you got a point. You got a point. I do know a couple of dudes that was raised by their mom. Not necessarily. I know a lot of dudes that were raised by their mom, but not all of them are mama's boys, right? And that's why, you know, your theory, I seen it happen a lot. Yes, I know. I agree. It exists out there. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't apply to everybody. Because I got a couple of homies that was raised by their mom, and their mother did everything, but they're not dependent on the woman as much. But then I do have a couple of homies that are very dependent on the woman that they're with because they were raised by a woman. That's interesting. But there's some good qualities to being raised by a woman.
Yeah, there are. I'm just saying if it depends on the tone. And that's what I meant to emphasize. It depends on how happy they are that their mother had to do it all. Because just I have a son.
You mean how pride?
Yeah, like how proud they are that their mother did it all. Because nobody should have to do everything by themselves. Nobody should.
Okay.
So if you're very, very proud of that, that means that you like that shit. Like you like a female that literally has to do it all by herself, and you provide dick. Like, I'm a pass.
That's so good.
I'ma just go ahead. Hard pass.
I'm just saying. All right. So, second red flag. Another one.
Second red flag.
Another red flag. A red flag, folks, is something that makes you say, "Stop. Hold on. Wait a minute. Stop. Something ain't right here."
Somebody that's too secretive. Like, and I'm talking about like secretive about everything. Like, they feel like they ask you a lot of questions, but if you were to ask them questions, like if they like some kind of covert fucking, like something about you not being forthcoming is a big ass red flag for me. Like if we're having an open line of communication and for whatever reason you feel like there's some shit you gotta reserve now, you might feel like you need to reserve some of your personal shit. That's cool. But if we're having like idle conversation, like I want to see how your mind works, kind of like, well, how do you feel about this, like let's ballpark it, how do we feel about these things going on, and you get extra like
what, that's like hiding stuff.
Yeah, it's something either you feel like, and it's two part, it's a couple of things there. You feel like your opinion or your thoughts don't matter, or you feel like you just don't have to share them with me. And either way, no thank you.
No sharing, you ain't caring. I know a girl named Sharon, and she wasn't caring. Nah, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I do understand where you're coming from. I understand that, you know, but I think that a lot of the times people have a wall up. Especially when you first meet them, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been through things. in the past. And watch this. I got a theory too. But now that we on this right now. Anybody. Mm. Not, let's not say anybody. Let me not generalize everybody. Let me say. Most black people. From the ages of 35 to 40. have some traumatic shit. That has happened in their past. That dictated the way that they are today. And remember, your past shapes your future regardless. But I'm just saying, most people who are 35, or most of us who are 35 to 40, have had some traumatic experiences in the past. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. And so now, when you meet someone, a lot of the complaints that I hear is from a lot of women, especially on social media, folks, Facebook. A lot of the complaints that I hear is, oh, I don't want to deal with your trauma. Oh, I don't want to deal with your traumatic past. Oh, I don't want to listen. Okay, everybody got baggage. It's just the amount that you choose to deal with.
Right.
But I'm just saying, 35 to 40, you might as well just start accepting this shit, nigga. You gonna get some trauma. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, back to what you were saying.
I feel like, to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, I feel like baggage is baggage, right? Like, you could have, I'm gonna give you a prime example. Everybody is not meant to be able to handle everything the same way. And nor does anybody, nobody is capable of handling everything the same way. You know, the extremely religious will say, God will never put anything more in you than you can bear. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and through this lifetime, if you are into your 30s, mm-hmm. if you feel like you have not yet experienced something that has changed you, shaped you, molded you, whatever the case, then you're lying to yourself. There's things that has affected you, and mm-hmm. it affects the way that you approach relationships or any kind of relationship with person, whether it be a partnership, friendship, whatever the case may be, everything with a ship. Right? Now, with that being said, baggage is baggage. Show me yours, I'll show you mine. Mm-hmm. What's up? And what I feel like is when you're introducing yourself to somebody brand spanking new, there is nothing that you should be afraid to share. Because they don't even know you like that. What, you gonna cast judgment on me? Child boo.
So you're saying, wait, so you're saying
child boo.
You're saying that when you first meet someone, it is okay to divulge everything about yourself.
I feel like the reason why you don't is because it's preemptive strike. I feel like the reason why people don't tell people things about themselves is because it's calculated risk. You're playing a game of chess instead of checkers, right? Mm-hmm. So you already are bracing yourself for mm-hmm. the games that are soon to follow, right? Because all relationships have games. I'm not going to tell you everything about myself because that's too much ammunition. You might know me too much and then you could pick through my motherfucking brain.
Right,
so
right,
you're, right. It's a preemptive strike. Going into the relationship, you're already talking about how am I going to move on this fucking chessboard.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Because if I already got a setup.
Right.
My pieces, my game, the game board is about to be a game. This is about to be a game. And before we can get to the relationship, we got to get through this game.
I don't know. I agree with, you know, we're 90% with the agreeing over here. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so just to stick on topic, the third red flag. And remember, folks, a red flag is something that makes you say, hold on. Wait a minute. Stop. Full pause. Something ain't right here. Give me one more red flag that you have experienced or you think would be a breaker in a dating situation or a relationship.
I want to say somebody either fresh out of a relationship or they have...
Ooh, fresh out.
If you're fresh out of a relationship or you still have an emotional response mm-hmm. to how that relationship makes you feel, you are not yet ready to move on.
Whoa.
And I do not want to be that in-between stage for you. That's a big-ass red flag for me.
If you fresh out, that's like being fresh out of jail. So, being fresh out of a relationship... Are you saying that someone or no one that gets fresh out of a relationship can redeem themselves quick enough or can go back to their original mental state quick enough to start a new relationship?
No. I don't agree with that.
Why not?
Especially if it was a relationship of any kind of significant time span. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said before, right, people okay, are under the impression that you don't get changed by every kind of relationship or any kind of thing that mm-hmm. you've been in for. People are suffering. I wouldn't go as far as trauma, because mm-hmm. I want to say that this generation are just really, really focused on everything being trauma, trauma response, everything being a red flag, everything being this. It's all like just, basically it's people. Mm-hmm. It's people and how they navigate through this life. Mm-hmm. That's really just it, right? And whether you're, the way that you've been moving through this life has forced you down a road less traveled, or it has forced you down mainstream, or it has forced you to follow in the footsteps of somebody that you felt like did it better, however the fuck it goes, this just, people are just navigating the lives that they're living, right? So I just feel like, you can't go through any kind of significant ordeal with another person and not need a moment to regain your identity, because your identity becomes part of their identity and then now you have to separate yourself and reclaim who the fuck you are solo.
Okay. That was well put. I think we might have the relationship guru. She might have to be in another chair sitting here while I bring other guests on the show, just so that way we can figure this out. Because, I mean, that shit was deep right there. But you see, those three red... So what were the three red flags here? We got... the first one was what?
The independent. If they were raised by a single mother.
Raised by a single mother.
They are proud of their mother's independence.
Okay, proud of your mother's independence. Too much pride. No, sorry, it wasn't proud of. Sorry, let's correct your words.
Right.
Too much pride in your mother's independence will cause you to be a nipples. You sucker. I think. Right? Sounds just about right. Hanging on the nipple. And you don't want to let it go.
Right.
Okay. Don't want to let it go. You're causing problems in your relationship. That's the shit where you call your mother and you be like, "Mom, I got a problem every single day." Like, yo, if you got to call your mom.
That she's a part of this relationship.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I call my mama every now and then. Like, every 6 months or some shit happens. You know what I'm saying? I call her, you know, we talk. But I'm just saying, in general, like, relationship-wise, I might tell her something. Like, yo, you know what happened, though? You know what she did? She put fucking Velveeta cheese in the fucking macaroni and cheese. You know, that's some shit you call your mother and tell her.
Right.
She's like, she did what, baby? She put Velveeta cheese in the macaroni and cheese.
I'm done with you.
I'm saying, I don't think you're supposed to do that. But anyway. And the second one.
They're too secretive. They're not forthcoming.
Too secretive. So... And you know what's crazy about being too secretive? When you have a wall up, it's like you getting to know the wall. Right? Mm-hmm. The whole time you're getting to know the wall, you're getting to know the wall, you're getting to know the wall, you're getting to know the wall. And then when that person finally takes that wall down, guess what? I don't know you.
Right.
Who's that? Oh, that's the person behind the wall. Oh, like, wow. I didn't even know that. That's crazy. And the third one was?
The third one? So it was the secretive, was the baby one, and somebody fresh out of a relationship.
Fresh out. Yo, that's crazy. I think I'm capable. Excuse me, I don't want to go on your theory, buddy. She's beautiful. I know she's beautiful, right, folks? If you're watching.
Thank you.
You're like, God damn, right? Yes. Red couch, folks. Jessica Jones. But yeah, fresh out of a relationship will cause you to go into another relationship all messed up in your head. She said now she needs at least 3 months You said 3 months?
Yes, I need at least, at the bare minimum, I need three months. 3 months
between your last relationship or the last time you had sex.
Yeah.
And the and the time that you have sex with them.
Right.
Okay. Do you have some magical way of ball smelling or something to know that the person has?
There's no way for me to know, especially if you're not honest. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty good at knowing when somebody's bullshitting. So
you just know.
There's cues that people give you in their body language, because people think, because there's text, there's context, and there's subtext. And that all translates to body movements, mm-hmm. all of those things. And if I'm asking you a question, and I'm being quite frank, right? And I say, listen, when's the last time you had sex? Because you might not have been in a relationship for 2 years. But the last time you had sex was last week. And that person, the last time they had sex might have been yesterday. You feel what I'm saying, where I'm coming from? So it's like, that's a lie.
You're not going to catch everybody in the lie, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not going to catch everybody in the lie. But what I won't do is I don't like to mix energy like that. I feel like it's messy. And I feel like people need to detox from their relationships. And those people that feel like they're going to supplement that feeling that they get from their relationship and having walked out of their relationship with just cordial sex is not somebody that's going to intermingle well with me anyway. Mm. That's not going to work.
But so that doesn't necessarily mean it may not work for everybody. I'm just
no, like, that's what I said. I've said put the little asterisk. This is for me, what I mean for me personally, right? I need at least 3 months between the last time you slept with somebody and me. At least 3.
Okay. So I'm going to take it a little bit deeper and watch you going to agree with me on this one. 6 months if you're going to get tested with some STDs.
You see what I'm saying? And then you add that. Because if I'm asking you for 3 months, we're not even going off of the scientific basis that 6 months you need to be tested. Because if you was in a relationship for any extended amount of time, I don't believe that you was using protection every single time. It's bullshit.
You know what?
It's bullshit.
All right. I'm glad you said that, because I was about to say some shit. I was about to say there, for the majority of the time, I have automatically sent my, like, if I'm interested in you like that and I know I want to give you this, right? I will send you that paperwork one time, so you know. But then it comes off like, damn, this nigga just ain't want to hit it raw. Like,
you know who that? You know who thinks like that? Little ass girls. It is something very attractive about a guy that will go get his ass tested.
Okay.
There is something very attractive about somebody that's just like, yo, let's go get tested. This, if that scares you or bothers you in any shape, way, or form, please stop having sex.
Don't get your meat wet.
Please give it up. You're not safe. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, if a female asks you to get tested and it makes you feel uncomfortable, so your reaction is defensive, please stop having sex. That goes vice versa. Mm-hmm. If a man asks a female and she immediately feels defensive, don't fuck that girl. Don't fuck that girl.
Don't stick your beef in the stove.
It's not safe.
Don't do it.
It's going to burn.
So now, a while ago, we spoke about a lot of things on the phone, because you know we talk for mad long, we talk for hours and shit, right? I'm saying we got kids, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, we talk and we spoke about dudes doing the bare minimum. Okay, what is the bare minimum in a relationship?
The bare minimum are the things that are contingent upon regular interaction with human beings. Right? Mm-hmm. So the bare minimum is just like, oh, I call you, you answer, and you respond, right? That's the bare minimum.
Okay.
That's the bare minimum. If I call you and you respond, that's simply the bare minimum, right? Mm-hmm. If you tell me, hey, I just was checking on you, I was thinking about you real quick, so I called to check on you. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what you should do, right? If you're in a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. These are all very basic, very minimalistic things in a relationship. You know, like, I care about your well-being. Okay. I know that this is a two-party situation, so it's not just me and how I feel, but also you and how you feel.
Okay.
Right? acknowledging that is simply the bare minimum. So if you're like, yo, are you hungry? I ask you, are you hungry? Mm-hmm. Are you hungry? Should I get brownie points for asking if he's hungry? He's a full blown grown human being.
Yo, but hold on. Wait. But hold, here's the thing though. A lot of the times we feel as if, now I'm gonna use the same situation, right? Mm-hmm. If I ask you, if you're hungry every single day, and I feed you every single day, right? That becomes more than the bare minimum if and only if you ain't doing shit or the other person ain't doing nothing.
Right.
If the other person ain't doing nothing, then it becomes like you're doing a whole lot. Right?
Right.
There has to be some reciprocation.
Right.
In order for the bare minimum.
But reciprocity is bare minimum. To me, that is bare minimum.
Okay.
If I give, you give. Okay, right? And This is the thing. The problem is your expectations. Mm-hmm. That's what comes the problem. Mm-hmm. Expectations is always the problem. Mm-hmm. If you are somebody like me and you're naturally a giver, mm-hmm. and so you got to cut that shit off at the knees, mm-hmm. right? Because if I start expecting the kind of person that I am mm-hmm. from other people, mm-hmm. you're going to get a real pissed off version of me.
Okay.
So I'm going to not do as much as I know that I mm-hmm. would do mm-hmm. because I know I'm not going to get that back.
You know what's crazy? How I think about it is like it also depends on how a woman was raised.
Right.
Right? Because what may be the bare minimum for you may not be the bare minimum for somebody else.
Right.
I'm going to tell you. Now, I used to hate when people would bring up conversations about my daughter and say, oh, when she get married, when she get older, or when she has kids, when she get older, I used to be like, oh, I can't stand the thought of that. My daughter had when the kids get married, right? But then I started thinking to myself like, yo, you know how I raise her makes me feel comfortable enough to know that, wait a minute, hold on, I'm doing a great job, so I shouldn't have a problem with what she, who she chooses or whatever. But going along with that, my daughter has had breakfast in bed every day since she's been born. I mean, since she could chew. Or then, anyway, breakfast in bed too, because she's holding an arm with the bottle too. But she has had breakfast in bed every day. So I'm thinking, if a dude, you know, later on in life, and he decides he want to say, I cook breakfast with you every morning. I eat breakfast in bed every morning. It's bad. My daddy did that.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My daddy did that. That's not how she's going to talk. But I'm just saying, though, it's going to be so, that's going to be the
her
bare,
standards that's going to be. Going to be high. So that's going to be her
bare minimum. Right. But a chick who ain't used to breakfast, like maybe she just got a little McDonald's burger.
Yo, I don't know why my brain went to the same place. Like the chick that only got McDonald's all the time is gonna be like, oh, breakfast.
Eggs, you making bacon. Can I get up my phone? You making bacon and eggs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think about that when I, because I, like I said, I have a son, and I definitely, I do find myself a lot of the time mm-hmm. taking a moment to address that this is not commonplace, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't expect your mother mm-hmm. out of people, because
that's going back to that theory, folks.
Yeah, I do stress that with my son, because I'm gonna be honest, I am somebody who work a good job and all that stuff, and I do make my son breakfast every day, and I do cook him cookies from scratch and all that stuff. Mm. And do I feel hungry? Like he need to be looking for all of those things, and he works out with me and all that stuff? I feel like he's going to have a higher standard of individual from the person that he dates. Mm-hmm. Because he's definitely going to be one of those, because he is definitely conniving. Right? Yeah. And he's definitely going to look for you to constantly take care of yourself. Like, maintenance is going to be a thing for him. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like it is something that I have to stress for him. Like, listen, you cannot look for that from everybody because it's a lot of work. And that independent woman motif, that shit is not cute. It's not. Don't think that I... Yes, I can do it all myself, but I shouldn't have to. Mm. I shouldn't have to. That's fucking weird. Yes,
I love that. I hate it. I love to hear it, but I hate it. Because I always feel like God put us here as man and woman, or whoever you believe in, put us here as man and woman for a reason. Mm. You know, I was watching, I forgot who it was on YouTube. I think it might have been this dude. I forgot who it was. But the dude said, put that damn jackhammer down. Put that goddamn jackhammer down. He was saying that about this woman that he saw with the jackhammer. And, you know, I was like, damn, this is how she's eating, bro. This is like, this is how she's getting it.
But should she have to?
That was the whole part.
Because I can redo my entire floor. I can refinish the walls, mm-hmm. right? Like, I can find a stud. I can put my TV up. I can mount my TV. I can redo a hard floor. I can sand it down and stain it and then put the fucking polyurethane on top of it. I can do masonry work. I can do all that shit. But really, should I have to? Why?
Sometimes not.
Cause I can. I also. The other day, I had to like, you know, do the shower head, right? Mm-hmm. And as I was doing the shower head, I was on the phone with my boy.
The shower head the other day.
I'm done with you. Anyway, so I was changing out the shower head because we had like this waterfall shower head, and I really can't stand that shit. So I changed it out for a filtrated, you know, like one of those shower heads that has the filter in the middle of it. And I was changing it out. And as I was changing it out, I was on the phone with my boy. And he was watching me like take the whole shit down and make sure it was the same measurements and make sure I turned the water off and make sure I did all of that shit. And he was just like, yo, I can't believe I just watched you do that. And you know what's crazy? Because that becomes commonplace. Your kids start to see the mom doing all of that shit, the plumbing, the floor, the everything, and anything. Like, me and my sister in the backyard had to lift up the deck boards and all that shit. Like, people start to get comfortable seeing women have to do that shit, and that's ridiculous. No, I don't want to do this. I don't even want you to see me do it. I don't want you to think I can do this shit because you should be doing it. I can.
Right.
I really am good at it.
You know, let me tell you something. And let me tell you something about women that y'all may not know. Okay. Everybody be like, oh, he think he know about women. Nah, I'm just exaggerating it. But what I will say is that I really do believe that women are stronger than men. Oh my God. That's a man that just said that. Women are stronger than men. Let me tell you something. You ever seen a woman go through pregnancy? I seen it. I seen it firsthand. And let me tell you something. The pain. All right, so you got the 9 months of shit. You got that. But then the actual birth part?
It's 10 months.
It's 10 months?
It's 10 months. I don't know why people say 9 months. It's 10.
All right, well, you carrying that baby for 9 months. That 10 month, that was just the first. I was stroking for 30 days, and the chick was swimming. I was swimming for 30 days.
Right? I'm weak. Good.
I'm just saying. 10 months, whatever you say, right? Y'all could carry that baby for that long. But the crazy thing about it that I learned when I was in the doctor's, in the hospital, is that your organs shift in order to have the baby.
Your muscles separate.
I mean, yeah, ooh, don't do that. Because right now, sometimes when I bend down, my shit hurts. So I'm imagining, you know, and sometimes when you see pregnant women walking like penguins and shit, you're like, oh my God. Yo, I can't do that.
I was pregnant.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying, there's no way as a man that I can have a baby. And I'm glad, super glad that God made me to not have a baby. So yes, I believe that situation alone right there just made me know, like, yo, women are really strong. And you see, you know the theory about when men get sick, we turn into little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And shit. Like, help me. Help me. That's crazy. All right, so check this out, right? Theories, right? I want to see if you believe in this theory. I already know your answer. But we're going to say it anyway.
Okay.
Right? Thick woman loves slim dudes. And slim dudes love thick women. And vice versa. Big swollen dudes, swole ass necks, like skinny chicks.
I don't think so. I don't agree with this.
Okay, why you don't?
I don't agree with this.
Why?
I don't agree with anything you just said.
Why?
I do not like skinny men.
Why?
Because I just feel like, you know, look at these pants. Like, and I'm sorry, I gotta use
you. Use them skinny legs. Come on, use them skinny legs.
Look at these legs. There's never gonna be a moment in everdom that I could take your pants and run downstairs and go get something.
Is
right?
That what you want? Is
and
that what you
I do not
wow,
want to
crazy.
Feel like
is
the big bitch in the room. Like, nah,
this is
yo.
Crazy.
Nah.
All right, you gotta come up with some better examples.
My one thigh, both your legs together,
listen,
is not my one thigh. We not doing that.
Hold on.
We
ain't
not
got
doing
to do
that.
With the beef, though. This is what I'm saying.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying, though. That's all I'm saying. Now, you sitting here telling me, you gotta give me some better examples.
Because
bro.
I don't.
You can't take my
I
pants
just
downstairs,
feel like,
downstairs.
I feel
and
like
get somebody
I can't.
Else's phone number. Nobody else
why
phone
you
phone
don't that? Like skinny girls?
All right, let's get into that.
Because of the bones, right? What I'm doing with that bone, I'm going to break your shit.
No,
I'm not talking about him specifically.
No, you can talk. I'm just saying.
Bro, like that skinny shit is going to make me feel real sketchy about the amount. One,
you
can't pick me up. Never.
Oh, that is a whole lot.
Listen.
We can try it on camera. I'm
done.
I'm just saying. I put jeans on first, though. But I'm just saying, though, right? At the end of the day, have you ever noticed? See, this is what I noticed. I noticed that the relationships with, you know how people say opposites attract?
Yeah.
Okay. So I noticed that those relationships last longer.
That's not true. I have only ever dated men that were bigger. You know what I find? I find that my stature is where opposites attract. Right? I find that very, very tall men are always attracted to me. Mm-hmm. But they're usually tall and big. They're not just tall. I have dated somebody that was just tall and very skinny. And we're going to leave that one right where the fuck it's at. Because I don't even think I want to claim that one. But we're going to just leave that one.
Oh, yeah,
right where the fuck
right,
it's
right.
at.
All right, look. All right, what you like? These big muscle hair. Like these big muscle head niggas.
You know, it's not my fault. It's just what
somebody
now.
Said they're enjoying the conversation while they're cooking. Yeah.
It's not so much. I just can't wrap my mind around. You know, it's all preference. It's not prejudice. It's preference.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a thicker one, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form.
You never dealt with a slim dude? Oh, yeah, you said you did deal with a slim dude, but.
He was very tall.
Whatever.
He was very tall. He was a whore.
All right, that was only one though, right?
Yeah.
Turned you away, man. You would just let yourself deal with one more.
Nah.
Just one more.
I don't.
You would have been lit, boy. Because once you go slim, you're never going back to them. I'm just saying.
Won't do it again.
Saying. Nah, listen. You live at home with your mama. If you this big.
That's
I'm
not true.
You just want stereotypes.
You a hater.
Let me tell you something. You know what I don't like? When I'm in a gym, okay? I don't even go to the gym like that no more because, you know, I got a gym right downstairs. But I'm just saying.
Ooh.
When I go to the gym, right? When I go to the gym, I don't like when big niggas drop the weights mad hard. Why are you doing that for, bro?
I do that.
Because you roll with them. That's your type. That's the reason why why you do that dumb shit? You're like, why, let's focus on the elephant in the room. What? Go ahead.
Most musclehead dudes, and I'm not attracted to muscleheads, but most musclehead dudes are attracted to fat women.
What's musclehead?
Like those beefy, like, protein. Dumb niggas. They like fat bitches. I'm sorry. Not thick, fat. They like fat. You know what I think it is? Because I think that they want to try their like physical training regimen on the bitches. They want to like, like flip their world. Like they want to put them through a course of fucking. I think that's what it is, to be honest. Because I find that a lot of fitness.
Because you're not from like the five boroughs and shit. So
I'm from Queens. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
Yo.
Represent Queens. We in Brooklyn right now, by the way, folks. But I'm
saying, all in your borough from Queens.
But I'm
so.
Just saying. But at the end of the day, that's I don't know about that. No, we're not going to agree with that right there.
Now this.
So you know that was just my theory. I'm just saying, and I think at the end of the day, it's because of this, right? When she has a big old booty. In which, I don't, y'all better not steal my shit because I got a song I want to make out of this, but it's called a bob, right? B-O-B. Big old booty. Don't steal my shit, okay?
When she has a bob.
When she got a bob, right? A skinny dude got to get, I mean, a dude with little meat, because you know them niggas is this big anyway, got to get up under them like that. You feel me? A slim nigga. Because you know you heard the stories. I know you heard it. Because everybody be talking about it. So I say, you know what? I'm going to say it. I don't be around a nigga, but I'm just saying. Or my slim homie be like, yeah, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, I don't want to hear that, but I'm just saying. That's what I heard. Yo. You feel me? Yo, nigga. So I don't even say pause. You feel me? You feel me? But, you know, that's what I heard. But at the end of the day, I know for sure that big dudes, it's like, how do you manage all of that booty? You can't, because it's too much for you. Whereas me, my slim self, I just slide right up in there.
That is not accurate, and please don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Nope. That is only accurate as far as his perspective, because that's how he wants the world to operate. That is not the truth. That's not the truth. And you have to be somebody that's extremely lazy sexually for that to even matter. Like, if you are only in a position to where they can only angle getting past your ass, you are a lazy person to sleep with. And, you know, fuck you.
Whatever. I'm just saying, light skin versus dark skin is the next topic. Now, so now, here's the thing, right? So it's not even... We're not into the colorism
at all.
We don't put light skin versus dark skin. But we realized that a lot of people talk about this topic. And some may compare it to a preference. Mm-hmm. They may think about it as a preference as opposed to colorism, right? And I'll give you an example, right? I ain't gonna lie. You know how they say the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice? Mm-hmm. I have seen some beautiful, very, very dark women. Mm-hmm. Not to say that very, very dark women are not beautiful. And I hate when I have to say not to say. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I'm just saying that because we're recording this shit. Mm-hmm. But I've seen women from all different types of colors that are very beautiful. But I don't know. Growing up in New York City and in Brooklyn or in the Bronx, Queens, whatever, we kind of was taught to hate dark-skinned people. That is what I've experienced growing up. And so when I used to see dark-skinned girls, we used to make fun of them. And people used to make fun of me because my skin was darker than... I don't even know how I got lighter. That's just bullshit, man. I don't know.
Lack of sun. You were a kid, you were out in the sun more.
Yeah, but they used to make fun of me. They used to call me runaway candy bar and shit, right?
That's fucking rude.
I know you want to laugh. But I'm just saying.
I don't.
I do. But I'm just saying. They used to call me that, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was funny at the time, but sometimes it did bother me. But at the same time, that's what it was growing up. It was like, you know, I don't even want to get into the whole...
Yellow and flashlight and all of that type of shit. And my son is very, very fair. Mm. And they call him glowworm and all type of shit. And it's crazy because his father's like your complexion. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, honestly, like, it goes both ways. Mm. I feel like people don't talk about it as much when you talk about it from a light skin perspective. Like, where people that are darker will definitely throw hella shade at mm-hmm. light-skinned people. But I feel like it has a duality, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you have people that... And I've seen it. I've seen it where attractiveness has nothing to do with it. It's all skin tone, mm-hmm. right? Because I have seen a man definitely turn down a very, very attractive brown skin or dark skin woman.
Why?
For an ugly ass light skin woman. And I'm just like, ew, like, she got like bad fucking skin and she needs to go to a dermatologist and her teeth is to shit. But in like, her hair is fucking crazy. But you go to her because she's just lighter. That doesn't even equate to more attractive. Like, I don't even understand that. And that's the issue, because at that point, I don't think it's a preference.
But then that person might say that it's a preference. They might say that that's what they're attracted to.
Right.
That's the thing. You see what I'm saying? It's like this gray area in there that's like, wow. Like, I was thinking about it. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like, you could really get in trouble saying some shit behind that. But at the same time, it's like, is it really a preference? Is it not? How do you... I guess it depends on how you approach it, right?
Yeah, I feel like it all is how you... Because it's not always what you say, but how you say it. And that's generally... Mm-hmm. That's the key to everything. It's not always what you say, but how you say it. And I feel like if you have a preference... If your preference is thicker women, that's just your preference. If your preference is lighter skinned women, that's just your preference. If your preference is darker skinned women, that's just your preference. Mm-hmm. My issue, and I've been turned down because they are attracted to darker skinned women. And honestly, I'm attracted to chocolate.
So I had chocolate.
Now, will I date somebody that's not necessarily, you know, like brown or, you know, something? Yeah, I will.
But will you really be attracted to?
Yeah, because it's a preference at that point. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with attractiveness, because anybody can span the gamut. Because I feel like some people are attractive across the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Whether it be whatever your preference is, that person is still attractive.
Like the dude on your Instagram who I said that looked dark skin and light skin at the same time.
Yes. Okay. Like, and you could just be like that person. Like, I feel like some people are attractive across race, across... You know, like
somebody said, "Ha ha ha! Runaway candy bar." I told you that was funny.
That is not funny. Listen.